Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the July 16th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll start with the first page stories. Tuscola City Council, trash providers to change in November, by David Porter. Tuscola residents will have a new trash provider this fall. GFL Environmental was the winning bidder and will begin service here in November. Three companies bid on the solid waste service. The vote to use GFL was unanimous. With the name change comes new pickup dates. Rather than picking up garbage on Wednesdays, the city will be divided between Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. The south side of town will have pickup on Mondays, the northeast side will be on Tuesdays, and the north end, including Parkview, Iron Horse, and Forest Glen, will be on Wednesdays. Mayor Dan Kleist commented that three-day service will be good since there will be a truck in town in case there was a problem on a previous pickup day. City Administrator Drew Howell said GFL offered the lowest rate for residential service and for commercial service up to 3 cubic yards. It also had a lower annual increase over the next 5 years at 3.5% compared to 5% for the others. The proposal includes recycling service. The residential rate will be $18.50 per month, $2 lower than the next bidder. The service will continue to be billed with the city's water bills. The new service will require all totes and dumpsters to be replaced. There were a few minor changes made to the request for a proposal, Hull added. One noted change was that multifamily complexes that currently use multiple totes will have larger dumpsters instead. Hull said that GFL is a large company with regional headquarters in Peoria. They have 88 city contracts in Illinois, including Leroy, Rantoul, Hayworth, and Jacksonville. They're building a new facility near Rantoul and will serve the Tuscola market from that location. Representatives of all three companies bidding were at the meeting and delivered pleas as to why their bid should be selected. Also Monday, the City Council accepted the resignation of Patrolman Toby Crable and hired Lonnie Holman as a part-time officer. Following a closed session, Austin Martin and Jace Taylor were hired full-time for the Public Works Department at a rate of $27.69 per hour. The Council also approved its annual appropriations budget following a public hearing where nobody from the public spoke. Other business approved included road closures of Sale Street for Flessner's Candy Kitchen Family Fun Day, August 30th, a live band with alcohol in the Moose Lodge's parking lot, August 30th, the 1% grocery tax replacing the state's 1% grocery tax for municipalities, the annual county multi-jurisdictional all-hazard mitigation plan, a loan bid for annual oil and chip materials from Earl Walker Company in the amount of $58,000, which was 14% below the engineer's estimate, and approving naming Kleist Plaza downtown. Mayor Kleist also offered condolences to Alderman Troy Rund and the Wax family in the passing of Rund's sister-in-law, Deborah Wax Holyfield. In his written report, Hull said the company repairing the slide at the pool has reversed its position on installing the replacement parts due to Illinois' prevailing wage law. The city will now do the work with a technical consultant from the company on site. The next article, Arthur Village Board. Board approves new police vehicle, by Ariana Cherry. The Arthur Village Board at its July 7th meeting unanimously approved the purchase of a new 2025 Ford Police Interceptor from Morrow Brothers, totaling $58,700. The purchase was in the village's budget and does not require a trade-in. The vehicle will arrive road-ready with full equipment packages expected to be delivered in 4 to 6 weeks. Existing critical equipment from the other squad car will be transferred to the new unit. Although trade-in offers for older vehicles were lower than anticipated, board members were not surprised due to existing issues, including wiring problems and a misfiring cylinder. Board members briefly discussed the possibility of rotating police vehicles and other fleet trucks more regularly in the future to maintain resale value and reduce maintenance issues. Other items discussed and voted on: approved Ordinance 0707A-2025A declaring several outdated police department laptops as excess property, and the board authorized the 2017 Ford Police Interceptor to be declared excess property, giving Chief Elliot Tinnen authority to sell or trade the vehicle as appropriate. Village President Rod Randall commended the Public Works and Police Departments for their dedicated work during the town's annual Freedom Celebration. He also offered thanks to Linda Perrine and the American Legion Auxiliary for placing American flags along the village boulevards during national holidays. These flags really add to the awareness and observance of these important holidays, Randall said, recognizing the volunteers' ongoing contributions to the community's patriotic spirit. Grant Corum provided updates from the Public Works Department. Hershenberger Concrete has completed 2/3 of the alley replacement project. Nico Asphalt has been consulted regarding the ongoing horse rut repair project. JK Customs finished cutting a drainage ditch as part of the poison hemlock removal effort. Green Wave completed landscaping cleanup at the Welcome Center and gazebo lot on June 27th. Chief Tinnen reported that with upcoming fair operating at full capacity, including the return of the carnival, additional police staffing and overtime may be necessary to ensure public safety during the event. Approved monthly expenditures totaling $126,000. The next article from the Newman City Council. Council moves ahead on property deal by Ben Crane. The Newman City Council addressed a variety of financial, property, and community topics during its regular meeting Monday, including a counteroffer on the McGuffey property, support for a televised event, and a fundraising break for the local Little League. Mayor Dennis Kibler confirmed that the city had received a $3,000 offer for the McGuffey property, but the council countered the proposal of $4,000. No final decision was announced Monday evening. The council also discussed updates on the two ongoing grant efforts, the Chapin Rose grant and a housing grant. While specific progress was not detailed, Kibler said a newly seated council member was brought up to speed on the housing grant's background and purpose. Looking ahead, Kibler announced that Newman is set to be featured on WCIA Channel 3's Our Town segment on September 5th. The mayor said Joel Gold will organize the event, which may include live music, storytelling, and a community meal. The city agreed to provide Gold with up to $3,000 in funding for event expenses as needed. If they don't spend it all, that's fine, Kibler said, but we wanted to cover some of the costs. In other business, the council voted to rent the community center to a Little League group for $1 for an upcoming fundraiser. The event will feature blackout bingo as a way to raise funds for the league. It's a year off, we wanted to get the conversation started, Kibler said. And the article from the Arcola School Board approves contracts, hiring, and upgrades by Ben Crane. The Arcola School Board approved a series of items during its regular meeting, taking steps to prepare for the 2025-26 academic year. Board members unanimously accepted bids for fuel, milk, and bread providers, awarding contracts to South Central for fuel, Prairie Farms for milk, and Alpha Baking Company for bread. In other business, the board approved its calendar for the 2025-26 school year. Meetings will be held on the second Wednesday of each month at 7 p.m. with dates and tentative topics outlined throughout the year. A one-year renewal agreement for the educational software program eSpark was approved at a cost of $23,000. The program is used to provide personalized learning experiences in reading and math for students in kindergarten through fifth grade. The board also approved a $14,900 proposal to install a new heating and air conditioning system in the kitchen area, improving comfort and efficiency as the district's food service operations. No staff resignations were submitted at the meeting. Three staff members were approved for employment. Tony Spain-Auer and Tracy Garman were jointly hired for a 90-day behavioral interventionist position. Both bring extensive experience in special education and working with students who exhibit challenging behaviors. District officials said the team-based approach will provide significant value to students and staff. Courtney Gingrich was hired as new junior high and high school social worker. She previously held a similar role in the Oakland School District. Administrators expressed excitement about her addition to the team. The board also voted to destroy closed session verbatim records for more than 18 months old and approve the release of redacted closed session minutes following standard procedure for records management and transparency. The next regular meeting of the Arcola School Board is scheduled for Wednesday, August 13th. The next article, Tuscola Council names Downtown Park in honor of Mayor Dan Kleiss by David Porter. That green space between the community building and the Vault Art Gallery in Tuscola now has a name. The Tuscola City Council approved dubbing the area Kleiss Plaza at the request of Marcy Shoemaker and Peggy Helm. The vote took place on the 40th anniversary of Mayor Dan Kleiss being sworn in as an alderman. Kleiss joined the council in 1988 and was elected mayor in 1988, a post he has held ever since. The green space was created within the last year using up remaining funds from an expiring tax increment finance TIF district. The project included paving downtown alleys and parking lots. Shoemaker said the area needed a name so people would no longer say, "You know that space." She said the naming is a fitting tribute to the long-standing mayor who oversaw numerous economic projects in the city. She noted that Kleiss is also a 50-year Tuscola High School alumnus in the TCHS Hall of Fame. "I didn't get in this to have anything named after me," Kleiss said Monday night. He said he joined city government to help make the town a place where his kids and others would want to live and stay. "We've had our ups and downs," he said. "It's been very exciting for me." He added that the plaza is not yet complete. He said he wants to see a stage built for outdoor concerts. He suggested that Shoemaker's husband, Alderman Alan Shoemaker, should help with that since he has a long history with musical performances. City Hall was filled up with friends and family members to witness the renaming of the small park. The ordinance naming the park also includes rules for the area which mirror regulations in the city's other parks. In the last first page article, Arcola Chamber Amish Heritage Center hosting events to spotlight community, culture, and connection by Ben Crane. From the professional networking to therapeutic horse riding, two upcoming events in Arcola are set to showcase the community's blend of small-town connection and rich agricultural heritage. The Arcola Chamber of Commerce will host its annual Headshots and Happy Hour networking events on Friday, July 19th at the Main Street Gaming Lounge. The event is open to both chamber and non-chamber members and offers professional headshots at discounted rates for chamber members taken by Leslie Arguelles of Leslie Arguelles Photography. Attendees are encouraged to drop in after work in casual attire. The goal, according to organizer Cassie Yoder of Cass Concept, is to revitalize networking opportunities and bring more value to the chamber and connection being built. Participants can also meet Mick Howry, a new addition to the chamber team, and reconnect with chamber's director, Hannah Myers. The event focuses not only on building business relationships, but on building community among local professionals. The Illinois Amish Heritage Center will host a pop-up educational event entitled A Day of Heritage, Healing and Horsepower on Saturday, July 19th from 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. The family-friendly event blends Amish tradition with progressive equine therapy demonstrations and immersive learning activities. While the center is best known for its three signature events, the Sheep Shearing Days in the spring, Harvest to Home in August, and Steam Thresher Days in October, this pop-up is part of a new effort to host monthly hands-on experiments. Saturday's event will include therapeutic riding demonstrations by Serenity Meadows, teaching guests how to build trust and communication with horses, trick pony performances by Anya Hirschberger, a local performer from Arthur, known for her impressive training and appearances at state and county fairs, blacksmithing demonstrations, horse-drawn buggy rides, a petting zoo, and rope-making activities. Local bake sales and food vendors will also be on site with proceeds, often supporting Amish families or schools in need. This is not a look-but-don't-touch museum experience, Yoder said. We want families to get their hands dirty. Bring an extra set of clothes for the kids. They're going to be in the fields with animals learning about life on the farm. The event also encourages photography, with the center making efforts to educate visitors on respectful image-taking practices around Amish individuals while still promoting photo sharing on social media to enhance the experience. The Amish Heritage Center recently broke ground on a new visitor center, but until it opens, the restored Miller Hirschberger Barn, relocated from west of Arthur, serves as the primary gathering space. The barn's renovation was driven by the desire to create a venue that honors the past while serving current educational goals. These events help us connect the historic ways of the Amish with what's happening now and what's possible in the future, Yoder said. Our community is progressive, and this center reflects that. Looking ahead, the center plans additional pop-up events, including a bee-themed program in August and another gathering in September, with details forthcoming. Each event is designed to tie into seasonal themes, with potential demonstrations like grinding corn on a traditional grist mill or baking with locally grown rhubarb, weather permitting. Our mission is about immersion and education, Yoder said. Whether it's food, farming, or family life, these pop-ups are a doorway into the everyday life of the Illinois Amish and how that life continues to evolve. For more information or updates on future events, visit the Illinois Amish Heritage Center or the Arcola Chamber of Commerce on social media. We'll move now to the obituaries. Donna D. Gear McCullum, age 78, of River Falls, Wisconsin, passed away peacefully on Monday, March 17, 2025, at Our House Senior Living in River Falls. A memorial visitation will be held on Saturday, August 2nd, from noon to 4 p.m. at Edwards Funeral Home, 221 East Main Street, Arcola, followed by a private interment ceremony at the Arcola Township Cemetery. Robert Bob Eugene Lawson, 89, formerly of Villa Grove, passed peacefully on May 17, 2025, at Beaver Creek, Ohio, surrounded by loving family. Besides his family, one of Bob's proudest accomplishments was working with former principal Frank Norris in establishing the Villa Grove High School Scholarship Program. To date, the program has given away $1.3 million to area students. Memorial has been made to Bob Lawson's honor in the Scholarship Fund, Villa Grove High School, 400 North Sycamore Street, Villa Grove, Illinois, 61956. Richard E. Dick Hine, 80, of Arthur, passed away at 11:22 p.m. Monday, July 7, 2025, at Carl Hospital, surrounded by his family. Funeral services were held Saturday, July 12th at the Arthur United Methodist Church, with Pastor Jill Bunker officiating. Burial followed in the Arcola Cemetery with burial rites by Deacon Jeff Beals. Visitation was held Friday at the Arthur United Methodist Church. Schrader Funeral Home assisted the family with arrangements. Another article, U of I offers master naturalist training. From urban parks to the Shawnee Forest, University of Illinois Extension master naturalist volunteers serve as environmental stewards in their communities. Protect and support Illinois' natural areas and resources by signing up for master naturalist training starting August 12th. Illinois Extension is now accepting applications for the fall volunteer program at Douglas Heart Nature Center. Our Corps of Master Naturalist volunteers put in thousands of hours each year supporting the environmental issues that they are most passionate about, said Master Naturalist Coordinator Jenny Lee. Together, we're able to help prevent the spread of invasive species, monitor the health of waterways, and restore prairies. Master Naturalists are trained by university experts to be environmental stewards who connect people with nature. Volunteers provide science-based educational outreach and assist local partners such as nature preserves or wildlife rehabilitation facilities. Volunteer training will be from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. on Wednesdays from August 12th to August 14th at Douglas Heart Nature Center in Mattoon. The 32 hours of classroom instruction and 8 hours of field work will introduce basic principles of the natural world and practical techniques for teaching about and managing natural areas. The training covers environmental topics and issues, including ecology, botany, soil health, urban environments, birds, fish, reptiles, mammals, and more. After graduating from training, new volunteers will work toward completing 60 hours of service over 2 years with local partner organizations such as the Douglas Heart Foundation, Grand Prairie Friends, and Soil and Water Conservation Districts. Educational and outreach opportunities may include speaking to youth groups, coordinating invasive species removal, or monitoring wildlife species. The application process must be started by July 21st with informal in-person interviews starting July 28th. Acceptance into the program requires a background check. There is a program fee which covers training, materials, and field trips. For more information, contact Program Coordinator Jenny Lee at 217-345-7034. The next article, Oglesby Mansion Board announces Ogden Historic Speaker Series. On behalf of the Governor, Richard J. Oglesby Mansion and Museum Board, we are proud to announce a new addition to the legacy of the Governor, said Dave Davis. The Board has formed the Edward and Carolyn Ogden Historic Speaker Series at the Oglesby Mansion. Carolyn was the Governor's great-granddaughter, and because of her personal dedication to his legacy, the Mansion and Museum maintain numerous original Governor Oglesby artifacts. The Ogans attended events for the mansion as late as 10 years ago. He passed away in 2021 and she passed away in late 2023. Board President Dave Davis said, "We're forever grateful to the care and diligence of the Ogans took to be sure that artifacts were here for display. Many of the artifacts were accompanied with Carolyn's handwritten note explaining the history of the donation." The first speaker will be Professor Ed Walker of Millikan University. Mr. Walker has a long-standing relationship with the mansion. In 1997, he was called upon to hand repair some of the original wallpaper in the governor's library. He later appraised the artwork maintained in the museum. Ed holds a Master of Fine Arts from Rochester Institute of Technology and a BFA Millikan University. Professor Walker has been a professional fine art and antique appraiser accredited with the International Society of Appraisers since 1998 and specializes in institutional and estate appraisals. He brings to the profession a broad background in research, professional scholarship, and years of experience in the fine art and antiques field. The presentation by Ed Walker will be on Saturday, July 19th at 2 p.m. in the parlor of the Governor Oglesby Mansion. The mansion is located at 421 West William Street in Decatur's Historic District. The public is encouraged to attend and listen to the expertise and stories of Professor Walker. There will be time after the presentation for questions and tours of the mansion. We are fortunate to have such an expert in our community, and it is a bonus that he actually assisted with the preservation of the mansion, says Davis. More information about the mansion is available at www.oglebymansion.org. The next article, health screenings coming to Arthur. Residents living in and around Arthur, Illinois can learn about their risk for cardiovascular disease, osteoporosis, diabetes, and other chronic serious conditions with affordable screenings by Lifeline Screening. Arthur Community Building will host this community event on August 4th. The site is located at 120 East Progress Street in Arthur. Screenings can check for the level of plaque buildup in your arteries related to the risk for cardiovascular disease, stroke, and overall vascular health, HDL and LDL cholesterol levels, diabetes risk, kidney and thyroid function, and more. Free parking is also available. There is a cost. Consultants will work with you to create a package that is right for you based on your age and risk factors. Call 1-877-237-1287 or visit our website at www.lifescreening.com. Pre-registration is required. All About Horses, July 19th. The Illinois Amish Heritage Center invites the public to a one-of-a-kind experience that blends education, equine demonstration, and Amish heritage. All About Horses will take place on Saturday, July 19th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and is designed to showcase the incredible role horses have played and continue to play in our communities, culture, and health. The mission of the Illinois Amish Heritage Center is to provide education through immersive experiences, said Dave King, executive director of the IAHC. This event delivers just that, an opportunity for all ages to learn about the deep connection between horses and humans and the many ways they continue to shape our world today. Featured educational interactive horse experiences include horse training demonstrations, learn how horses are taught to communicate, follow directions, and build trust, therapeutic riding demos presented by Serenity Meadows. Those demonstrators explain how horses can improve cognitive and emotional development. Behavior regulation in individuals with ADHD, balance and coordination in neurological conditions, mobility and quality of life for those with Parkinson's and other challenges. Live horseshoeing and blacksmithing, with Marvin Miller highlighting traditional skills still used by the Amish today. Horse performances including a trick pony show by Anya Hirschberger. Horse-drawn buggy rides with Lamar Miller offering a glimpse into the transportation traditions of Amish life. Additional attractions for the whole family. Animal encounters featuring goats, alpacas, puppies, chicks, and more working and more. The working gristmill in action, grinding yellow corn, hands-on rope making activity. Walk around tacos and bake sale for a cause. Enjoy tacos and homemade Amish baked goods provided by Serenity Meadows, with all proceeds supporting their fundraiser to build an indoor therapeutic riding arena. This event goes far beyond any single demonstration. It's a full sensory and emotional journey into the world of horses, added King. It offers education, entertainment, and a heartfelt mission all in one day. Whether you're passionate about horses, inspired by heritage, or simply curious, All About Horses promises a meaningful day filled with learning, interaction, and connection. The Illinois Amish Heritage Center already offers immersive tours of restored historical buildings, including the 1882 Schrock House, 1865 Yoder House, and the Miller Amish German School, and the newly reconstructed 1879 Hirschberger Miller Barn. Visitors can step into the past to experience everything from traditional woodworking and farming practices to Amish quilt and education. The center is also launching Amish Country Tours, which include stops at the Heritage Center, meals in Amish homes, shopping, and visits to local attractions. Further position, the IAHC as a cultural cornerstone and regional tourism driver. The Illinois Amish Heritage Center is located 9 miles west of Arcola through Chesterville on Route 133 or from Arthur 3 miles east on Route 133. For more information, visit IllinoisAmish.org. In the next article, Arthur Library Welcomes International Visitors, by Marty Yeagle. The John E. Tim Arthur Public Library recently welcomed a group of associates from the Mortenson Center for International Library Programs at the University of Illinois. In introducing the associates, Clara M. Chu, director of the Mortenson Center, who led the group, shared this information about those involved in the program. It is a pleasure to welcome and introduce the 2025 Mortenson Associates from 14 countries, Barbados, Chile, Costa Rica, Ghana, Indonesia, Japan, Malaysia, Philippines, Qatar, South Africa, Republic of South Korea, Spain, Trinidad and Tobago, and Vietnam. Libraries Unbound, Open, Inclusive, and Engaged is the theme of this year's professional development program for the library leaders and innovators. My warmest appreciation to our colleagues for sharing their knowledge, expertise, and our libraries. We look forward to learning together and being enriched and transformed through international engagement. The group pictured met with Library Director Kelsey Pruitt to learn how our library operates, the challenges faced, and many services that a small town library provides. The Arthur Public Library recently completed renovations to the reading room and the library. Planks Cabinet Shop, Arthur added some beautiful cabinetry to that room, and those are being filled with many local history items. In those cabinets, visitors and patrons will find high school yearbooks, fair books from over the years, cemetery records, records of those who served in the military, and many other pieces of Arthur history. Director Kelsey Pruitt and her staff have done a wonderful job putting this collection together. Please stop in and check out these updates to the library. The Summer Reading Club, Color Our World, at the Arthur Public Library has been a big success. At the end of the school year, Kelsey Pruitt and Trudy Feyreisen visited the schools and met with various school librarians to promote the program, which is for children in grades kindergarten through grade 5. As of now, they have 93 kids participating and have to split into two groups for programs. Kids are asked to read for at least 20 minutes a day, but the club also involves interactive programs and creative crafts. These programs have included visits from the Scoville Zoo Mobile, 4-H Youth Development, tie-dye, and snow cones. Up next are guided paint lessons on July 23rd and a prize party on August 6th. Some of the prizes are available at the party. If you haven't visited the Arthur Public Library in a while, be sure to stop by to see and learn not only about those programs mentioned, but many other services offered. Besides the books on the shelves, patrons have many choices in a way they can obtain books from our library, which also includes interlibrary loan and the digital library collections Libby and Hoopla. There are magazines, audiobooks, copying and fax services, and several computers for public use. Also check out The Art of Reading, the quarterly newsletter put together by the staff of the library. Beside Director Pruitt, that would include Miranda Stutzman, Don Robinson, Trudy Feyreisen, and Jocelyn Garza. Another article, federal food assistance changes threaten benefits for thousands of Illinoisans. New requirements mandate state pay for a greater share of the program by Ben Zielinski. Hundreds of thousands of Illinoisans could lose benefits from a federal food assistance program while the state will be required to cover more costs under changes passed in the latest domestic policy plan. President Donald Trump signed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act into law July 4th, making sweeping changes to social services programs, including Medicaid. Among the programs being revamped is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, better known as SNAP. The bill institutes new work requirements for many people to remain eligible for benefits and shifts some costs from the program to the states. Food stamps were first established in the 1930s during the Great Depression. Renamed to SNAP in 2008, the program provides monthly stipends for low-income Americans to purchase select foods at grocery stores. While states implement the program and pay a portion of administrative expenses, the federal government has historically covered the cost of the benefits. Under the law, work requirements to qualify for SNAP benefits have been expanded to include people age up to 64, along with homeless people, veterans, and young adults leaving foster care. Previously, only people between the ages of 18 and 54 had to meet the work requirements. These populations didn't previously have to prove they were doing a certain amount of work, but when the changes kicked in, they'll have to do 80 hours of paid or unpaid volunteer work each month to qualify for benefits, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The law continues to provide exemptions for people who are physically unable to work, such as pregnancy. The changes could leave 360,000 people in Illinois at risk of losing eligibility, according to the state. Trump and the Republicans would rather children go hungry so their friends can receive tax cuts, Governor J.B. Pritzker said in a statement. Here in Illinois, we've been working to combat food insecurity for years, and while no state can backfill these costs, the state of Illinois will continue to fight against these harmful impacts and stand up for working families. About 1.9 million people are using SNAP in Illinois as of March 2025, according to the USDA. Illinois and most other states will have to cover a greater portion of the cost for SNAP under the law, including benefits based on the state's error rate of over and under payments on benefits. Beginning in federal fiscal year 2028, which begins October 2027, the law requires states with an error rate greater than 10% as of fiscal year 25 to cover 15% of the cost of benefits. States with lower error rates would cover a smaller portion of the benefits. Illinois recorded an 11% error rate in fiscal year 24, according to the USDA. More than 1.8 million Illinoisans received $4.7 billion of SNAP benefits in fiscal year 2025. According to the state of Illinois, must pay 15% of the cost of the benefits. This would leave the state on the hook for $705 million, about 1.3% of the current year's budget. Also beginning in fiscal year 2027, which begins in October 2026, states will have to cover 75% of administrative costs for SNAP rather than 50%. This year's state budget appropriates $60 million for administrative costs for SNAP, up $20 million from last year. The changes are part of the initiatives by congressional Republicans and the Trump administration to shift more responsibility for assistance programs to states. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates changes to SNAP would reduce federal spending by $279 billion over 10 years, but increase state spending of SNAP by $221 billion over the same time. The CBO predicts some states could abandon the program or choose to provide a lower level of benefits and not make up for the reductions Congress made in the program. That is all we have time for this week. This is Chris Yerkes saying goodbye and see you again next week.